Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Welcome back. It's not just Heineken Champions Cup action at the weekend. Six Nations starts as well. So it's an abbreviated Six Nations, as you've heard and as we've covered on the show already. The championship consists of two pools of three. It's quite unusual and hopefully the last time we see it this way. But two pools of three. Basically, Pool A have England, Italy and Scotland. Ireland are in Pool B with France and Wales. Everybody plays each other once and then you play, if you finish first in your pool, you play first from the opposite pool all the way down to second and third. It's a Super Saturdays final type situation. So Ireland are not in action this weekend. England play Scotland and France play Wales, and then Ireland will open up in round two away to Wales at Cardiff Arms Park on the 10th. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff. So to discuss the championship ahead, very happy to say we have Six Nations winner herself, Alison Miller. Alison, great to have you with us.
Good to be with you. How are you?
Very well, very well. Weird championship this for a whole gazillion reasons. We're still operating in a pandemic. We haven't had rugby for these players in a very long time. And then to state the obvious, those two pools of three don't really work. I think we're hoping it's the last time we see that.
Yeah, I think obviously it's an unusual situation with the girls. They're not full-time professionals, but I think it was welcomed because so much cancellations of their different games, their World Cup qualifiers. So just to get some competitive games is great, but obviously with women's games, you want more games, you don't want less. But I suppose an opportunity as well that every game is a cup game, that essentially you could do something. There could be shocks in it, the way it's the format of it. So that's another way, positive way to look at it, I suppose.
Yeah. I was just looking to get a sense of where everybody is at the moment in terms of professionalism. As you said, the Irish team aren't professional. So England's still the only fully pro team in the competition. I think they've 28 full-time contracts. The French are semi-professional. The Scots then have 10 players who have contracts with the Scottish Union for this season and some financial support for a few others. Italy and Wales get their expenses paid, and then the Irish players get a per diem. So that's how it's operating the championship. I guess, you know, we're hoping for the day when everybody's getting professional contracts and it's even. But the no surprise here is that England won it last year and they're very much the team to beat then.
Yeah, I suppose England are leading the way with professionalism, and I think fair play to them for doing it, because it forces others to have the conversation or to try and do something or come up with inventive ways to try and get their players in the best position that they can. So yeah, they're obviously clear favourites. Huge history in the Women's Six Nations of winning Grand Slam. So they'll be the clear favourites. But France on their day are, you know, a very capable team, play some beautiful rugby, but consistency for them can be a problem at times.
Mm. So where are Ireland then? And like, in terms of competitive matches, when are we going back to the last match? Is it October territory?
Yeah, it's like a really unusual, I suppose, time for women's rugby in Ireland, because you rely on these players to be able to play, you know, AIL or Interpros before the onset of any Six Nations. So they haven't had that, obviously. There's a small cohort playing in the Premiership in England, but that's a small amount of players. So the last competitive game that not all of the squad, but any of the 23 would have played, would have been the October Six Nations game against Italy. So that is your last competitive game that they would have played.
Yeah. So then it's really hard to predict where they are. What was a good lead-in for you then to Six Nations when you were playing? I mean, in terms of Interpros or AIL games, what were you doing that had you in a good place come Six Nations time? What was an ideal world for you?
Well, I suppose I was involved at Sevens at different times, but I also wasn't part of it at different times. But I think having a good interprovincial series, because it's probably, there's a big gap, I suppose, from club to international and interprovincial, even to international. But I think it's the closest thing that you have to see your cohort players and see what form they're in. So, yeah, for me, it would have been interprovincials. And oftentimes they were played kind of November, December, and then a squad would have been picked from those and we would have led into our Six Nations campaign from that. But I think, you know, we haven't seen, it's very hard to predict who will even start on an Irish team. Only the internal management and players will know who's in form and who's not in form, or, you know, who's training well, because we don't see them week in, week out, like we would see our professional men players playing for the provinces. So we don't see that. So it's unusual. I think it's also an unusual situation. You would have sympathy for any girl that, you know, was looking to play their way back into the Irish squad, having been injured or been on the fringes. They kind of have no way to play their way back into the squad because there's no games for them. So you would have sympathy for there is those players or someone we haven't discovered yet, potentially.
Yeah, and I mean, it is, the makeup of the squad is very striking. So only Claire Malloy, Sene Naopu, Kira Griffin and Lindsay Peat have more than 30 caps in this entire squad. And the other interesting thing is that the Sevens players have been brought in because the Seven series was cancelled. So you have the likes of Stacey Flood, Eve Higgins, Emily Lane, Grace Moore and Amy Murphy-Crowe coming in. Now, Amy Murphy-Crowe has been a try-scoring machine at Sevens. And I saw Kira Griffin make the point that she's applied herself brilliantly to the 15s game, has a brilliant rugby brain, you know, on top of her homework, on top of her detail. So she certainly has high hopes for Amy Murphy-Crowe coming in. But like, that's another element in this squad, these Sevens players coming in.
Yeah, I suppose generally the girls would be, you know, competing on the World Series. There would have always been the few Sevens players that would have been integrated, you know, over the course of the Six Nations. They might have started the campaign with the girls, or they might have come in for games, you know, here or there. But I think this is the first time that those Sevens girls aren't on Sevens duty. So the opportunity has arisen for them to come in and, you know, try and play their way into the squad and put their hands up for places. So you'll see five of them that are uncapped, but there's also a cohort like Katie Fitzhenry and those that have played 15s for Ireland before and also play Sevens. So it's interesting to see how they get on and will they push for places. Obviously, I'm not privy to how camp is going, but it'll be interesting to see the selection in, not next weekend, the weekend after, to see who starts, because, you know, it's an interesting squad. It's competitive. There's, you know, a lot of, I suppose, positions up for grab in different places. So it'll be interesting to see, do those Sevens girls, the ones that haven't been involved before, you know, get selected on a match day 23. It's obviously a very different game, and the way you play the game is different. But yeah, those players, you know, they're full-time professionals. They train every day. So, you know, someone like Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe, really hard worker, would have played Sevens with her, you know, diligent, you know, professional every sense. So it'll be good to see if she can, you know, all the tries she scores in the Sevens series, can she transfer that into the 15s game?
And would your sense, Alison, having gone back and forth between the two at times, would it be so that the Sevens players, the full-time athletes, would they be fitter than their 15s counterparts by dint of being able to train every day the way they are?
Well, that's an unusual, or I won't say unusual, but I just think that they're two different types of games. And I think the fitness levels are slightly different. Like when I would have played Sevens, I would have been lighter, but I would have probably been a different type of fitness. And, you know, sometimes I felt I was probably maybe too lean for 15s. And then, you know, when I came back to 15s, so it depends on the player, but for me, that's a hard one to answer, because yeah, I would have probably, the more I was playing 15s, I probably performed better, because, as I said, it's a different game. There's different defensive structures. There's different, the ruck is different. How you attack is different. But yeah, you will be fitter. You'll definitely be fitter. It depends on your speed and what kind of physical capabilities you have, and it's an unusual one, because I've seen absolutely fantastic 15s backs players not taken to the Sevens games, and absolutely brilliant Sevens players not taken to the 15s game, where you will have a certain cohort of players that will can play both very well. So it's interesting to see who are those players that can play both and play really well. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing, who those players are, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to predict, I guess.
Mm.
So what would you count as a good season for Ireland then? Last year, the game against France was initially rescheduled and then it was cancelled. So Ireland won three of the four. Obviously, England being brilliant is still very tricky. But they did win three of the four. They start off away to Wales in Cardiff Arms Park, and then it's France in round three. What do we class as a good season? I mean, neither of those look immediately easy, to say the least. That's a tough pool when you're away to Wales to start off with.
No, but I think there'll be a lot of talk about this squad being in transition for a number of years. I think it's Adam Greig's fourth year. A lot of the players, even though there's a small number of caps, I think the time is now that these girls will be looking for a performance. And obviously last year was a big step up from 2019 and 2018. So they'll be looking to perform. I think last year's three home wins was what the team were looking for. But I think they'll look to push on and perform. And a big thing for them is their World Cup qualifiers. Whenever they'll be in whatever format they'll take, they'll look to perform in the Six Nations to gain confidence to essentially go into what is very important qualifiers for them. But, you know, they had good performances against Wales. Wales can be a tricky team. I think from their own standards last year, they probably didn't play great rugby Wales. So, you know, I think Ireland would be expected to win that. But the format, the way it is, it means that every game is so important from the start. You can't afford to lose it. So both teams will be, you know, looking to perform. And there's a lot of those Welsh players will be playing in the Premiership in England. So they've been playing a lot of games. So it'll be an interesting one. But I think this Irish team now will be confident that they can go and perform. And, you know, they have France. And as I said, France are capable of playing some unbelievable rugby. But they also have lost to, you know, teams like Italy. And they drew 13-all with Scotland last year. So Ireland will be looking to go at them, you know, at home and give them a run for their money. And if Ireland can do that, then, and, you know, potentially win those two games, they're in a position that, you know, is all to play for them.
Yeah, you can, you know, second place finish and play England on the final day. It's a big success then. Ireland's style of play, Alison, how do they go about their business? What are they good at? What are they not so good at? What are they trying to work on and get towards over the last couple of years?
Well, I suppose they haven't played a game since October. I think the rustiness showed, obviously, in October. There was probably some issues with, you know, a line-out set piece and probably a little bit of lack of creativity in the back line at times. But that was, you know, a lot of rustiness. And they played some really good rugby then at parts as well. So they'll be looking to move the ball. We've got, you know, a very exciting back three. You've got a player like Bavin Parsons who's come onto the scene there now. And I just think she's an exceptional talent. Someone that doesn't need a whole lot of space. She's got an unbelievable leg drive and really good feet. And we'll be looking to get, you know, move the ball and get the ball into players like that. And if Amy Lee Crowe features, you know, she's someone with immense speed. And if we create that, the ball and the space for them. But I think, yeah, they'll be looking to play kind of a heads-up rugby. They've got quite a lot of experience in that back row with Kira Griffin and Claire Malloy. And, you know, they're all capable of playing rugby. And we hope to see a very, you know, heads-up attacking style going for it. But they're able to play quite well in the tight as well. So I think we'll see a bit of mixture. Mm-hmm. I think they're getting better at, you know, figuring out when they should, you know, lift the tempo or bring down the tempo or what style they're trying to play. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they go about their business this year.
Yeah, no, it certainly sounds like it. Heads up rugby had become a bad phrase across the male Six Nations campaign for Ireland, but then it came good at the end. So look, it's it can have ups and downs, that kind of approach. You can have, you know, stodgy performances, and then I guess it can just click when understanding has to build up between the players as well for that to really work.
Yeah, I think it's having the confidence to try it, to do it, not be, I suppose, afraid of what will happen if you try something. And you also have to have, you know, smart people, everyone be able to make a decision, you know, at the time. And you're looking for those decision makers and everyone to step up and kind of be a decision maker and have confidence in the ability to play, because I think when confidence is low, you're going to fall back into a more conservative approach to the game. So I think when confidence is high, you're definitely able to play that more attacking style. And that leads on, that feeds through the team, it feeds through players. So it's a very easy thing to say, you know, we're going to play heads up rugby, but I think that will come from the confidence they've got from training, the personnel they have on the park, who they're playing, you know, how the other team is defending, what style they have to play. Because if they have to play a different style to try and win the game, that's what the team will have to do.
Yeah, you got to react. It's interesting, one of the first names you mentioned when I asked you, you know, where they were was Bavin Parsons, who's still only 19. So, like, a bit of a superstar here. Do we, like, the ceiling for, without loading pressure on a 19-year-old, the ceiling for Bavin Parsons is incredibly high.
Yeah, like, I suppose for her, you know, not put pressure on her, but she'll learn, you know, how to get herself into games to come off. Like, I'm a big advocate of getting your wingers off your wing and going roaming and looking for the ball. And I think, you know, she'll learn and, you know, she'll make mistakes too, which is fine because she is young and that's how you learn. I've made plenty of mistakes over my career. I learned the hard way a lot of times, you know, about defensive structures, and you have good games and you have... But I think for everyone watching, I think it's, you know, giving her the time and, you know, the patience for her to become, you know, a really well-rounded winger. And, you know, she'll be coming up against some world-class wingers when she progresses and plays in World Cups, etc. So I think, you know, it'll take time, but I think she has this definite raw materials to be a very, very good winger. As I said, I've seen her break tackles that other players with equal strength or power or speed don't. And I think it's a really underestimated thing that if you can break a tackle and you get behind teams and if you put three or four on the ground where you're able to get the offload off, that you open up to the other players in your team. So she has that ability. But I think also, you know, she's going to make mistakes and that's going to be okay. But I think it's also the team realizing how important she is and to try and get her the ball because, you know, she can do things that other players just can't do. And I think that's X factor about her. So it's about understanding kind of the importance of, you know, getting the ball to those types of players, but also realizing that they'll make mistakes as they grow and learn the game. And that's totally fine. Every player has to do it. So, you know, she's a smart girl. I think she'll, you know, take it in her stride and she works hard and she's looking to be a better player. So I think that's just how she'll go about it.
Yeah, can't do more than that. So England, Scotland and France, Wales this weekend, then round two, Wales against Ireland, Cardiff Arms Park on the 10th, Italy host England. So we'll see how we go over the next 2 weeks and hopefully Ireland get off to a winning start. Alison, great to have you with us. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Cheers. Good night now. That's Alison Miller there previewing Ireland's Six Nations campaign. Like I said, it starts the championship this weekend. Ireland get underway in a week's time.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network.